No one really knows what causes Kawasaki disease. This mysterious illness usually affects children under the age of 5 and produces widespread inflammation in the feet, the hands, the mouth, and a nasty rash. In about a quarter of patients, the coronary arteries become inflamed too, and this can ultimately lead to scarring and aneurysm and can even kill. Whilst the disease is rare, across the globe, cases are on the increase. Although it can be treated, doctors often don't know what they're looking at, leaving young children in grave danger. And of course, the agent of the disease is still unknown. Freelance writer Jennifer Fraser has got wind of some promising leads and has written a feature about the disease this week. Here's Jennifer.
It was first described in 1960 and 1961 by a Japanese doctor named Tomisaku Kawasaki. But it wasn't until the next patient showed up, which was in January of 1961, where he unwrapped the bundle that this young child was in, and he saw these symptoms for the second time, where he realized, oh my God, you know, this is a new disease.
But we still don't know what the causative agent is, right?
That's correct. They have been looking for the causative agent for decades, and several of the very prominent scientists I spoke to kind of expressed bewilderment that with all our molecular tools, no one has ever found anything. And in fact, they're not even totally convinced that it's necessarily a living agent. But the way that the symptoms are expressed, the fact that antibodies are clearly involved, indicates that it probably is some sort of unknown living organism.
It was argued in Nature Scientific Reports recently that the incidence of this disease correlated with direction of winds in Japan. Tell us about that.
Yes, the disease is seasonal. That seemed to imply very strongly to people that there was some sort of environmental factor involved. Specifically, when the wind blew from the northwest over Japan, that is, when it blew from Central Asia, the cases went through the roof. But when the wind shifted, the cases dropped off. There have been cases in Hawaii and North America as well for many decades, and they looked at wind patterns across the Pacific, and they found the same thing. When the winds were blowing from Central Asia, they saw cases go up.
And I've seen the graph in the piece with the correlation between the wind and the incidence of the disease, and it just does match perfectly, and it seems to make perfect sense. Of course, it doesn't prove causation, but if it did, it would represent a real fundamental shift in our understanding of how pathogens spread, wouldn't it?
Yes. There's very few diseases that have ever been shown to be able to travel those kind of distances on wind. Certainly no human pathogen has ever been shown to cross an ocean.
What is it about traveling thousands of miles at high altitude that makes it so unlikely?
Well, the primary thing that people for years said, you know, there's no way this could happen, is ultraviolet radiation. Everyone always thought that would, you know, fry basically anything that tried to get across an ocean within, you know, a few days. Of course, the other one would be that the temperatures are extremely cold up at high altitude. But it turns out that it's a little more complicated than that because, you know, it's not a vacuum up there. There are dust particles. There are cloud particles. You know, there's all kinds of things that, a potential microorganism could latch onto that might provide some sort of shelter or protection. And in addition, Dr. Burns, who I interviewed for my story, she's also worked with viruses in her lab. And she made the point, you know, what do I do when I want to preserve a virus? Well, I defecate it and I freeze it at minus 80. You know, those are the conditions of the stratosphere.
So the conditions sound plausible, the correlation looks neat, and yet there still are naysayers. Are they any closer to finding the agent? I guess that would put people's skepticism at bay.
They are working on it. Ian Lipkin is also involved. He's a famous virus hunter at Columbia University in New York City. He got involved after they discovered this correlation. They had a meeting, I believe, in Barcelona. And they started looking at this data and saying, you know, how could we test this hypothesis? How could we try and, if there is a pathogen out there, how could we find it? And the conclusion they came to was that they needed to get up into the air above Japan and sample it. And then take those samples and basically sequence everything in the sample. They told me that they found some candidates, but they weren't willing to discuss exactly what those candidates are ahead of peer-reviewed publication. However, I think that the suspicion right now is falling on viruses, and they didn't say that. The scientist I spoke to at Northwestern believes it is a virus because she's done tests of the tissues of children that had Kawasaki disease, and she found these inclusion bodies that were virus-like and not bacteria-like. And she believes, in fact, the cause of Kawasaki disease is a virus in a previously undescribed family, and that is why it has been so hard to find it and figure out what it is up till now.
Jennifer Frazier there. And for more from her, you can read her blog called The Artful Amoeba on the Scientific American website.